When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And this is shaping up to be probably one of the nuttier weeks for me this year. I'm not going to say the nuttiest because Up Fair hasn't happened yet, but it's definitely on the nuttier side. I'm just for the journal portion of this discussion or talk or essay, whatever you want to call this. I'm leading 4 back-to-back presentations workshops this week. I just finished one whole day today, two two-hour workshops with like an hour break in between, plus a meeting afterwards for the Up Fair. Tomorrow, I've got a meeting for Kids Read Comics in the morning, followed by 2 more two-hour sessions. And then Friday, I've got an Up Fair meeting, and or not an Up Fair meeting, a Kids Read Comics meeting. That's right, 2 Kids Read Comics meetings this week, which I hope will result in some good news for Kids Read Comics next year. Then we got to do the art and story on Friday, which we haven't done this week yet. Plus, I have another special project in the evening on Friday that I'm doing. So, and Thursday is going to be a prep day for SPX. So, yes, it is a very full week for me. And as a result, we didn't get Art and Story Extreme done today. And it's going to be tough to figure out how the heck we're going to do it tomorrow. And the only way I was able to do Thunder Punch Daily today was doing it at 10 minutes before midnight as I'm getting ready to close up my night and go to bed. But I'm not going to leave you guys hanging on this. The Supreme stuff is always going to be one of my top priorities when it comes to getting content out the door. But that said, top priority doesn't necessarily mean get it out no matter what. I'm always going to try to make sure that the content is good too. So let's get to some content, shall we? Something that's been on my mind lately came by way of Jono Demophon on the Twitters. He's in the forum too under that name. And he was posting some, how would you put it? He was just kind of sharing some frustrations he's been having with thumbnailing and spending an inordinate amount of time on thumbnailing, and even expressed that he wanted to pick my brain about it the next time we see each other in person, which presumably will be tomorrow at the coloring class that I'm leading, but that's neither here nor there. It was just, I took it as an opportunity to do a quick little, you know, a few thoughts on thumbnailing. And yes, some of this will be stuff that I've talked about in past art and stories, but this is the problem with doing an hour and 20 minute, hour and a half, upwards of 2 hour show on a weekly basis, especially with as long as we've been doing it. Can you believe it's almost our 3rd anniversary of doing the show? Is that these little bits get buried in those massive archives. So I think one of the advantages of doing Thunder Punch Daily will be to encapsulate these things as a mini topic, a mini reminder about how these processes work for me and the other guys, like which I'm sure you'll hear about on Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily and Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast. There we go. There's the plug for the other microcasts. But thumbnailing is, as I've said many times, I think it's the most interesting and the most intellectually taxing part of making comics, and I also think it's the part where the real beating heart of comics lives. This is where you're really doing the work as a cartoonist, is at the thumbnailing level. Why? Because you're choosing your paneling in terms of big panel, small panel. What are the sizes you're going to choose? How are these panels going to interact with one another in terms of composition and flow and pacing and story beats? What moments are you going to choose within each of those panels? Which moments are you going to leave out? And also, how are you going to arrange the elements within each of those panels so that they interact with each other even beyond the paneling to form a pleasant composition? And what are going to be your dialogue beats? How are you going to pace out the dialogue? I've talked before about, I've reworded entire dialogue balloons, word balloons, based on the rhythm of the words themselves. I've said this before, is I like to think of thumbnailing as establishing the 3 main rhythms of comic storytelling. I think we talked about this in The Big Rhythm, which is an old one. is that the panel shape, size, and interactions on the page. I'm just talking about the panels now, not what's in them. The shapes and sizes of the panels and the arrangement of those things is one level of rhythm. The images that you show within them, whether it's a close-up headshot or it's a big wide establishing shot or a head and shoulder shot or a three-quarter down shot, that's the second layer of rhythm. And then the dialogue that you choose and where you place those balloons is a third rhythm of dialogue. In other words, there is a massive amount of decision-making going on at the thumbnail and level. And that's why I love it so much. And that's why, as Jono has seen, having attended some of my classes now, I really, really stress that part of the process more than anything else. The illustration part comes later. Learning how to thumbnail well, gosh, that's a hard part. And one of the things that Jono was saying on Twitter was that he was spending an undue amount of time on the thumbnails, basically creating a finished comic at the thumbnailing level. And what's the, you know, that can be frustrating when you got to redraw those pages, right? Now, there's a couple options if you do this in terms of how to speed things up, which I'll go into in a second. But the first thing I want to say is that if you are not making comics on a regular basis, or if you're a little rusty, a little out of shape, or if you're new to it, this is going to happen. It's tough to train yourself to work loose. At least it was for me. And if nothing else, I don't want to profess that my experience is common or the greatest example of a cartooning experience, but it's one of them, and I'm sharing that with you, is that, yeah, it was tough for me to train myself to work loose and sketchy because you're throwing lines down on paper and you want all those lines to count. And it's tough to train your mind to recognize the fact that they do count, even if they're not adding up to much in terms of being able to show it to somebody else and have them understand it. I always tell people in my classrooms, it's like, it doesn't matter if nobody else can read this, as long as you can read this, as long as you can make sense out of these thumbnails. Now, that said, I thumbnail relatively tight compared to some of my compatriots. I think I thumb tighter than Mark does. But Mark can read his thumbs just fine. It's enough for him. But okay, let's go into ways to speed things up. Now, if you just simply cannot train yourself to thumbnail loose, that's not the end of the world. That's nothing that you should necessarily struggle with. I think that most learning should happen in a spirit of play. And if you make it too tough on yourself trying to treat it like this kind of Spartan martial lifestyle, I think you're going to kind of suck some of the fun out of this thing, and it'll be a little, you'll be a little less eager to get to the desk the next time. So in that case, yeah, Zach Bosteel was talking with Jono. He suggested, why don't you just use a light box? That's a perfectly legitimate answer to that. That echoes some things that Mark has said in the past, is like doing all these like really refined sketches of moments from a story and then collecting them in on the light box and compiling them onto the page that way. I don't like the light box personally, and that's just my personal feeling. I think it's an extra piece of big equipment to keep in my studio. And what's more is I don't like how they feel. I don't like drawing on them. I really don't like how they tend to buckle. They don't have that rigidity of that like a good solid art desk has. So what I like to do is, if I have like an exceptionally good sketch or thumb, is just scan it and print it out in blue and finish it that way. And it just so happens that I just posted a video tutorial on both the Art and Story video site and on my personal site, jdros.com, which shows how to do that both in Adobe Photoshop's and Adobe Photoshop Elements. However, I know not everybody has Photoshop or Photoshop Elements. But most, I think like a lot of libraries do, at least the Ann Arbor District Library has Photoshop Elements installed in their computer lab. And maybe you can find out about getting some time at your local library or community center to do that if you simply cannot get that software. But I bet you there's a workaround in something like GIMP or, as a matter of fact, Jawdog pointed out on my Vimeo page that even in one of the manga studios, one of those different manga illustration programs, there's a workaround that's similar to the Adobe Photoshop Elements workaround. But okay, but let's say that you want to actually loosen things up. If you want to do this, my recommendation would be, and this, at least this is just my process that works for me, is I always, always, always pre-vis the scene. The scene, not the story. I'm not talking about pre-visualizing the entire story, but break the story into reasonable chunks. Like, I'm working on the Tiny Hamilton book right now, the first chapter of the graphic novel series I'm going to start with my wife, Anne. And we came up with the essential plot of the first chapter, and then I wrote down page one, page two, page three, and so on for the first 12 pages on just like a scratch sheet of paper. And I wrote down what's the essential action that needs to happen on each of these 12 pages. And then I broke it down again and said, okay, page one, this is the essential action that needs to happen. I visualized the scene. This is not a drawing activity. This is a walking around the desk and thinking activity. This is visualizing the scene as best as you can. And once I've got that, then I sit down and I set a time limit on that thumbnail. I work small, approximately like 50 to 60% of the size of the page that I'm actually going to draw it. And I give myself no more than 15 minutes to sketch it out. Now, that's 15 minutes of drawing time. If I get stuck in a moment, like if I thought that the paneling was going to work this way, but it's really not going to work that way, I need to re-examine the story beat. I put the pencil down, I get up, I resume pacing and visualizing the scene. But in terms of actually getting those ideas from my head to the paper, I try not to spend more than 15 minutes on it. And that means if I have to draw, like for instance, I was drawing a motorcycle in one of the frames, one of the panels, and I just drew a stick figure motorcycle in the essential angle of the shot. Good enough. That's all I needed to say to me, there's a motorcycle here, and it's roughly this kind of perspective shot. And it's all about beating the clock when it comes to the drawing time of thumbnails. Now, that said, after I finish thumbing a chapter, I let it sit for a few days. And I'll come back and look at it two or three times. Now, in the case of Jono, I know one of the ways he likes to wrap up his night is to have a contemplative pipe on the back porch or whatever. And I would recommend that'd be the perfect time to do this, is as you're closing out your night and you're, you know, calming down from the day and you're in a reflective mood, stop and look at those thumbs and just give it a quick examination and see if it comes across to make you say, oh, that's nice. Or if it's, that still feels weak, then go back and maybe give it another couple minutes after you've pre-vised again. But pre-vising is an essential component of thumbnailing for me. I do a lot of pacing back and forth in my studio, working out the scenes, picturing them in my head as best I can, and trying to picture out those panel moments, like how I can incorporate some kind of unique storytelling flow that both feels right and also is absolutely idiosyncratic to comics, as I've gone into again and again and again on the show. I won't beat that point home any further. But yeah, really setting a time limit is, I think, the number one way to get faster at it. And yeah, your first couple rounds of thumbs are going to be really crude if you're fighting the clock like that. But I think that that is one kind of training regimen that will force you to get into a sketching rhythm so that you can kick out, 10 pages of thumbs in a couple hour period. I wound up doing 5 pages of Tiny Hamilton, writing as I was drawing it, in about an hour and a half. And that's not too bad. That's a little bit longer than I like to go, but that's the combination of pacing and then 15 minutes of drawing. Pacing, 15 minutes of drawing. Or sometimes 30 minutes of drawing, and then 30 minutes of pacing, rather, and then 15 minutes of drawing. So it's at least that's the way it works for me. And again, this is the neat thing about us all sharing our processes like this, is that it's going to be different for every person. I know that, you know, Mark can actually sit in a noisy restaurant and just jot down ideas. That doesn't work for me. I tend to do my best thumbnailing at my art desk in silence. Can't even have music playing in the background. It's a lot of pacing back and forth in front of my desk and then quickly running to it when the idea really starts to gel. And I'm just sharing this as something that if you're having trouble with your thumbs, try this out, see if it works for you. But the main thing is try to keep those pages under 15 minutes, even if it's so loose that, you know, even your closest friends won't even recognize it. As long as you can make sense out of it, that's good enough, because you're going to spend so much time making that art look good at a later point. And you're focused on so much at this stage in terms of, like, as I pointed out earlier, composition, panel content, word choices, balloon placement. Don't waste any time on worrying about that drawing jazz, because you're going to do that later anyway. So, okay, well, them's my thoughts on thumbnailing for today, as best I could do. And I'll probably come back to this again in a later point with some new observations as I go through some new comics projects. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this endeavor. We could not do this without you. And stay tuned to the Twitter feed, the Art and Story one as well as mine, if you follow me, because I'm going to be making some announcements about some cool Upfair stuff that we're going to be doing, and we're going to be rolling out some new contests in the near future, I promise you that. Some fun things will be fun and public ways to share knowledge and with a prize at the end. So more on that coming soon. And you know what else is coming soon? Another Thunder Punch Daily. That was a clumsy segue. But until then, remember everybody.
Today we learned about the value of trying, even when the odds are against you. Sometimes when people around us aren't playing by the rules or the job seems too big, it's easy to become discouraged. That's when you really have to stick with it and keep trying, because that's how winners are born. So whether you're playing a game or doing your schoolwork, no matter how far behind you think you are, don't give up. Remember, you can't win if you don't try. See you next time.